Good morning. I am very much looking forward to preaching today because the topic of this passage is important. I entitled this sermon, "What is Love?" Because that is the question I've been pondering ever since I read this this passage again, probably for the 100th or 200th time, because apparently I've been to 100 or 200 weddings. It's usually when we hear this passage, isn't it? But it got me asking the question again, what is love? And so I started making a list after I was asking myself this question. And you'll learn a few things about me just from the first things that came to mind when I said, what is love, or what is love to me, and what is love from this passage. The first thing I wrote down on my list was coffee. Then God. That's a problem. We're supposed to put God first. But initially I was thinking things I love, and then I'm like, oh no, I love God. I love God more than coffee. Then third on my list was my bicycle. I love riding my bicycle. And then I was also thinking of other things like a childhood dog, and my kids, and my family, my spouse, and God again. Now, the reason I was writing these things down is, with coffee, it's an inanimate object. It's not a person, but there's something about coffee that reminds me of love. It's dependable. It's always there for me when I need it. There's no complication with coffee except for actually making it, but it's just kind of there and reliable and trustworthy and true. I think the same of my bike. It's there when I need it. I use it as a way to relieve stress and to really I see my bicycle as my means of therapy. But neither of these things ask very much of me. They're just there for me. So it's not really love, is it? But then I think of a dog. Has anyone ever had a pet or a dog? They love you differently than people. They don't really care what you do, what mistakes you make, if you smell. Sometimes they even like it more if you smell. They're just there, and they're handy, and they're true, and it's a beautiful sign that of love and what love should look like. But as I go down the list, I start to think of kids and family and spouse. This kind of love is great, and it's better than any love you could ever have for coffee, and it's better than any love you could have for a bicycle, even more than you can even have for a dog, because there's something about people loving people. But isn't it messier? People tend to care if you mess up. People tend to care if you disagree. People tend to care if you don't see eye to eye in things. So that the type of love that we have with people can be great and true and the best experience of love that we can experience in this life. But it can also be messy. But then there's the love of God. And the love of God is the mixture of all of those things. And you can see the handprint, the fingerprint of God in all of these things. God is there for you. He doesn't care if you make mistakes. He does, but his love doesn't change. Ever. No matter what. He's like the dog that greets you in the morning, even when he smells. God still loves you if you haven't taken a shower. Sometimes it's hard for us to wrap our minds around like just those simple sorts of things of how dependable God's love is. But it's also not messy. The love of God is simple and true and unconditional. We all need to be loved like that. God offers that type of love. But as the people of God who are loved by God, we are not just called to be people who benefit from what God is giving us. We are supposed to be stewards of God's love in this world to the people around us. I'm going to repeat that because that's the whole point of this message today. Love isn't just about what we receive from it. It is a gift from God that we need to grab hold of and to steward responsibly. We should not just receive it, It is a gift from God that we need to grab hold of and to steward responsibly. Like I said before, this passage that we were hearing from Paul in his letter to the Corinthians, we often hear this at weddings. So I think a lot of times that happens because at weddings we're celebrating love. And I think a lot of times when we read that, we connect this passage to be talking about romantic love specifically. It's not. It's talking about love in its fullness. It's talking about love. God-like love, unconditional love, agape love, loving people and others like God loves us, and loving others so that people know what God looks like, what He smells like, what He tastes like, so they can see Him and hear Him and know Him in the most intimate ways possible. That is what the power of love is in this particular passage. It's not just about a love between people who are committing their lives together. It's a story, a picture of love for the people of God that are loved by God so that they can give that love to the people around them. One thing that you'll maybe learn about me, well, you'll learn about me, not maybe, because I'm going to share it with you, is I have spent a lot of time as a campus minister. And I love doing Bible studies with students. So I'm actually maybe going to get you a little out of your comfort zone today, because a lot of times during the sermon you don't talk to people. But I'm going to ask you just for a moment to turn to a neighbor, turn to someone near you, and just share one of the things that stood out to you as we read that passage. When you heard about love, this Christian love that Paul is talking about, what stood out to you as you heard it? So just share, just for a moment, what stood out to you? What was the aspect of love that was ringing in your ears this morning as you heard that passage? So just take a moment, share real quick. So I'm hearing the voices kind of taper off. Just any brave souls that want to just shout out, what was the thing that they heard? What was the thing that stood out to them?
Lucky.
What's that?
Lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't you just feel fortunate that someone in the universe, God Himself, the creator of the universe, sees you and loves you? We're lucky.
Unconditional.
It's unconditional. Yeah.
Forgiving.
Forgiving. Thank God. We all need to be forgiven, don't we? I know I do. What else? What?
Not selfish.
Not selfish. Absolutely.
Everlasting.
Everlasting. This is an unselfish, everlasting, unconditional love that is poured out for you and for everyone. This is the best news that the world has ever heard. And I think oftentimes we forget that. Because if you're like me and have spent a lot of time in the church, and this news has felt old because you've just been around it and you've studied it ad nauseum at times, and you've read the same passage over and over again, it sometimes loses its luster, but it's not. This is the best news, that you are loved no matter what your flaws, no matter what you have done, no matter what you are going to do. God loves you. And that does not change. That's the reality. And that's why in this passage, when Paul is talking to the Corinthians, who are arguing about which prophetic gift is better, is it speaking in tongues, is it this thing, is it that thing, he's like, no, none of that even matters if love isn't present. But you're having the exact wrong conversation here. Love is what matters. I wrote in here at one point that love is foundational, but I don't think that quite grasps its meaning. Love is more than the foundation. It's also the house. It's also the roof. It's the very fabric of what makes Christianity, Christianity. Without it, Christianity, honestly, is a social club of people studying an ancient book in foreign languages. That sounds pretty weird. Love is what makes Christianity meaningful. It's what gives any purpose of why we're even here. And we can never lose the fact that that is what has brought us here. That the very love of God is why we are here, sitting in these pews, listening to these words, studying Greek, studying Hebrew, and just all of these things. It's all about love. And if we lose that, we also lose our effectiveness of being stewards of love to others. It can be very easy to be people who have been loved by God for so long, to be people who have experienced God's love for so long, to get this thing where we think we're a little bit more special than someone else. It's a natural thing. You're not at fault for it, but it's something that we need to be aware of. We can very easily fit into this thing of here's the in-group. And those other people who don't know God's love or haven't experienced it, they're the out-group. And somehow we're a little bit better than them. And I know that all of you in this room would hear that and say, I disagree with that. But we also need to be aware that that can very easily infiltrate into our thoughts in a way that isn't helpful. And we can actually be bad stewards of God's good love by thinking that somehow we can be forgiven, but that person who's living that way, who has done that thing, who I don't agree with, maybe God doesn't love them quite as much as he loves me. Ever had that thought? We need to understand that the gift is that good, but that we also have a responsibility to steward it the way that God has stewarded it to us. We have a responsibility. Paul uses this image when he's talking about this. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, I can speak a heavenly language, but if I don't have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. When I hear that, the only word that comes to mind for me is pain. Like, think about that. The only thing going on, if all I'm doing is speaking a heavenly language without love, it's like someone having cymbals right by your ear and just clanging them without ending. That's pain, isn't it? Like, that would be the most, I don't know, it would be a very unpleasant experience at the very least. But we need to grab hold of that as the people of God who have been entrusted with this gift that we don't deserve, that has this message of the greatest news ever to give to others. If we don't have love for people, all of what we're doing right here is that to everyone that hears this message. I've spent a good amount of time working with people who have been outcasts. I have worked as a hospital chaplain where I walk into a room of people who are disenfranchised from the church. And it's story after story after story. It's not everyone, but there's always this one experience of a Christian who is loved by God, who embraced that gift, but wasn't giving it. And so there's story after story after story of people who have had church experiences. It might have had 10 people do it really well, but there's been that one experience, and all they hear of God is riff. They hear God's name, and they hear clanging cymbals. It's just something we need to be aware of, because we have the greatest gift, but if we don't have love for others the way that God has love for us, we can cause more pain than we can good. I remember this one particular gentleman that comes to mind every time. He was someone I met in the hospital, and he was a veteran of the Air Force, and he had a terrible experience as a kid with a minister. And ever since that time, he could not look at the good news and the amazingness of this love of God without pain. And I invited him to to think about the fact that it wasn't God that was causing this pain, but it was someone who was loved by God who didn't know how to love. And I gave him a blanket when he was in the hospital, and I said, I want you to know that you are seen and known and loved by God. And when you wear this blanket, I want you to envision God actually embracing you the way that you always hoped that he would, so that you can see past this clanging symbol of an experience you had from someone that was loved by God but couldn't figure out a way to steward love to you. It's a powerful thing to help point people to the love of God. But we also need to know as the people of God that the way that we treat others has a big impact on the name of God. We cannot be deliverers of pain and slap the name of Jesus on it, because that's not who he is. Everything that we just shouted out about this forgiveness, this lucky, this everything that we said, that is what we have the responsibility to point people to as they see God. I'm not saying that we're all going to be perfect, but we need to be aware that love is that good, and we have that much responsibility for people to see it. That's why we're here. So, I said at the beginning, there's one thing I want you to grab hold of, and I repeated it. God's love is there for you. Grab hold of it. That's your first step. Grab hold of love. You can't love people unless you really, truly embrace the love that God has for you. It does not matter what flaw you have, what mistakes you're going to make in the future, how much you smell, if you have a certain type of thought or politic. It doesn't matter. God loves you. Let him embrace you. And only in doing that can we be people that truly show the world what the love of God looks like. Hold on to that. When you make a mistake, repent of it. Seek out forgiveness of others when you offend them. Go out of your way to show people that they matter to you. Love people like your dog loves you when the dog greets you when you come home. Love people like coffee. Be dependable and true. Love God like a bicycle that's just there for people to go out and enjoy the beauty in nature and all these things. Be that for people because God has loved you. God has transformed us. He has. So live out that life of love so that others can see what God truly looks like. Amen.